Hey, today I'm talking tech, low-tech, Twitter, and cool music with Brian Buffington. By the way, listen for him to tell his cool Zaxby story. Thanks for listening. Enjoy.
They're not here for us. We're here for them. That's what it's about. Kids.
Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is all about assisting classroom teachers and school administrators to overcome the many walls or barriers that kids face. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is focused on helping you help kids achieve their dreams. As a note, I hope that you will stop by Stitcher or iTunes and leave me a star rating and a comment. That helps the show get noticed by more people. Thanks for listening and joining me week after week.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Hey, did you know that we're now available on Google Play Music? Check us out there. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12. Today I'm talking with Brian Buffington. He is an instructional technology specialist with the Pioneer RISA located in Cleveland, Georgia. Brian says that as an instructional technology specialist, he is helping teachers do more with technology in 15-plus regional school systems, colleges, and universities in Northeast Georgia, and that he enjoys creating media to engage student-teacher learning. Additionally, he is a singer-songwriter who specializes in the art of happy music, and for the past 20 years, he's played all across the Southeast USA. In late 2015, Brian released his latest single, PJDU, Parents Just Don't Understand Minecraft. I love that title. I just can't get through saying it without laughing. That single, along with the song Eighth Grade Mustache, helped catapult him back into the music industry after an eight-year hiatus to start a family. Also, he is a filmmaker, husband, and father who likes the outdoors and hiking in the North Georgia mountains. Say hi to everyone, Brian.
Hey, everyone. It's good to be here. Thanks, Steve, for the invite.
Happy to have you here, Brian. I had had a chance to hear you speak and not too long ago, back in May, up at Lake Lanier at a conference, and really was enthralled by your ideas about using apps and technology in the classroom, and just wanted to see if you could have you reach out to my audience. So I appreciate you making time for us.
Oh, you got it, man. And it was a wonderful conference there at Lanier. Glad I could meet you there.
It was cool. I enjoyed meeting you there. Let's start off by first, as I was learning a lot more about you on the web and so forth like this, there are a couple questions I got to ask you before we go any further. When I was looking into you, what I found out is that you have this statement on one of the websites. Ever since I met Brooke at Zaxby's drive-thru a long time ago. Now, Brooke is your wife, right?
Yeah, Brooke is my wife. Yeah, that's correct.
So can you tell us a little more about this meeting her at Zaxby's drive-thru?
Well, Steve, what had happened was is that I was a very big consumer of chicken, and Zaxby's had the chicken, and she was an employee there, and she worked as a drive-thru clerk. That might be the official name. However, I had leopard skin seat covers on my Jeep Cherokee.
Nice.
And I think that's what did it. I was coming around. I ordered the Zaxby's Club, and I just saw her, and I just knew we were meant to be together. She had what I needed, and I had money, and that's what she wanted. And we made the transaction. Then I was a pretty good stalker after that. I kept seeing her and buying lots of chicken. I gained about 40 pounds, and we're good.
Nice.
We're together now.
I like that. That's an awesome story. That's when I read that on there, I was like, okay, this has got to be my first question, because yeah, you met your future wife at the Zaxby's drive-thru. And
I don't know how you know people meet other people meet women. That's how I'm you know I met mine. That's in South Georgia. I don't know if that's the go-to plan, but
I don't know. I love that though. That is awesome, especially because they had your chicken and you know your future wife and all good, man. And
it worked out really good for me. I don't know about her, but it worked wonderful for me.
And then I get to find out you had leopard seat cushion covers for your Jeep. Nice. All right. So, well, thanks for sharing that. And you know, and you do refer to your family a lot in the different parts where you write about your wife and your family. So you have a couple of children. You have kids?
I do. Yeah. And they when you have kids, they change your life. And so
most definitely.
That's the 8-year-old. His name is Jet, and he's a firecracker, and he's also a musician, and he's playing guitar. And my little girl, she is 5. Her name is Elle, and she's a little ballerina and dancer. She's doing some really cool stuff here in Northeast Georgia as well.
Excellent. Well, enjoy them. I have 2 boys, and they're both in college now, and those young days have just kind of flown by, and we did lots of fun stuff together, and we still do, but it's just a little different, and your life changes a lot. You know, matter of fact, once you have them, you wonder, did I have a life before children? What did I do before then?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. You only think about those things when you have children.
Very much so. So enjoy them. You know, now I know you're a tech person, but I can't help but noticing that you like going hiking and spending time with your family in the outdoors. Talk a little about what you like about being out there.
Well, I kind of consider, you know, being outside like my prescribed medicine. You know, my wife and I, we try to, you know, eat healthy as much as possible and not take medicine. So that's like, you know, if I'm in the office all day, I'm staring at a screen, I need some sunshine. I'm going to go out hiking here on the Appalachian Trail and get a buddy with some bears. You know, just go out there. And we have kayaking up here. We're about to take a road trip out west to Washington State. And that just lets me clear my mind and just get ready for the next school year, which I will be in front of a lot of computers and people.
Excellent. Getting out there into the nature and the wide open is just a beautiful way of doing that. I'm getting ready to go fishing in Alaska and looking forward to doing that. I've never done that. So
you got to have it, man. It's good for you. It's good for you.
Love the outdoors, man. Now, there's something else that you talked about that I got to make sure that I ask about. What is happy music? Now, I think I know, but
I... All right. So I figured that, you know, people kept asking me, said, Brian, what kind of music do you sing? And it's very difficult to say what kind of music you sing, at least for me. And I know other artists probably do the same thing. We're like, well, you know, you can't categorize me, all this. But really, my music's very different. All my music is very... Well, just to give you a little starter here, you know, the first song I ever wrote a long time ago was about cheese. All right, so there's not really a genre for people who write songs about cheese. And so I like to make songs that, you know, all ages can enjoy. I, you know, play these shows, and it makes people happy. And that's what I've noticed. And I have a guy who plays with me. His name is Rusty. He plays a djembe. And I said, that's a hand drum. He likes to dance around. And we just like to have fun and connect with people. And that's happy music to me.
Excellent.
And that's just music that makes people feel good.
Excellent. Yeah. I kind of figured that's what we're talking about here, especially, and now to know that you had a song about cheese. Anything particular, like Gouda, or you know?
I do it all.
Nice. I like that, because once we get into talking, because we're gonna hang on there, people. We're gonna get to the tech stuff, but this is so awesome when somebody has such cool, neat aspects to their life. And you know, I've listened to your songs, and I love PJDU. Parents just don't understand Minecraft. You don't know how many people I've played that song for now. and
thank you.
And sharing with them about Brian and his music. And then after that, the 8th grade mustache, which is just right up there too. And I love these songs, and I've been sharing your music with others. Take a look.
Thanks,
talk a little about your music, and specifically these 2 songs. But, you know, and I'd also love for you to say, because I've seen where you say that you're influenced from everybody from Johnny Cash to Jimmy Buffett, the Jackson 5, to Outkast. All right. So that's a wide range of music there, man. So go ahead.
Right. All right. So for one, thank you for liking those 2 songs. Those are my new babies. And, you know, when you have a family, sometimes you stop some of the things you're doing, sacrifice to you know, to be a good daddy, or you're trying to be a good daddy. So that's what I did. I thought that's what I was supposed to do, and they're doing really good. And then I got the blessing from my wife to start my music career again this past year.
Nice.
And she's awesome, and so I wrote my first new song, and it was really inspired by my 8-year-old, and it was Parents Just Don't Understand Minecraft, because he would walk around the house, and he would not hush up about Minecraft. I mean, it was Minecraft this, Minecraft that, and I figured, like, you know, I need a song, you know, since I'm going to, you know, get things going here. A lot of the people I grew up with now are parents, and they can relate to this, how parents just don't understand Minecraft. They have no idea. And I really encourage them to actually go in there and play with it, because it is fun. But, you know, my son's walking around talking about creepers. I'm like, I'm looking out for vans in the front yard, make sure there's no sketchy people out there. And it's just, it's really cool. It's a lot of fun. It lets me connect with a young audience as well as parents of those children. And then Eighth Grade Mustache is really a tribute to my previous years as a middle school teacher, and having that, you know, having that kid with a nice stash, and wondering just how old is that child, in good humor. And even as not just me as a teacher, but just growing up in middle school, I was never really good with the ladies in middle school. And that's why, you know, I had to find my woman at Zaxby's, but I was never good with the ladies. And, I think it was just because I had like a premature, like blonde mustache, and the girls couldn't see it. And so the other guys had like real mustaches and the girls were into that. So
I love it. Cause the difference between the two songs is that, yeah, you know, it's funny having almost everybody goes through the stage of middle school. You know, I may have met some people who skipped over that age. I don't know. But, you know, there's always somebody who you're like, dude, man, how old are you? You know,
That's right.
And as a teacher working with kids, you're like the same thing. Dude, man, how old are you? Better mustache than I can grow in 3 years, man. And so that song just kind of hit home. It just brings back, I think anybody who listens to that song is going to go, they're going to have a picture of somebody in their brain that whether they kept in contact with them or not, they're going to have that one kid in their brain over that song.
That's right. You know, and I played that song in Atlanta at Eddie's Attic, and it's a pretty famous music venue. I did an open mic, and it was just really cool to see people connect with Eighth Grade Mustache. And then the influences part, you know, I was telling you I'm influenced by all these different people. And really the main theme for most of those people is they were not afraid to try something new. You know, Johnny Cash, one of my favorite songs from Johnny Cash is A Boy Named Sue. When I heard that when I was young, it just blew my mind that he would have this whole song. And it was a story song, and it engaged me, and I know stories engage people, and so that's what I wanted my music to be after. And Jimmy Buffett, I mean, he made his own genre. I mean, he wasn't really country. He wasn't country. He wasn't quite pop. But now he has this huge fan base of parrot heads, people who follow him everywhere. And so that's kind of what I'm doing. And then I mentioned, you know, Outkast too. You know, Outkast, even though their music may not be everybody's taste, they were always willing to, like, just go outside of the box and just do crazy, crazy songs, even singing songs about shaking it like a Polaroid picture, which is a tribute to everybody's 70s and 80s. So it's just really cool.
What's even funnier about that is a lot of the young people who like the song had no clue what they're talking about. Shake it like a Polaroid picture, man. What the heck are they talking about? And so just to help people out, Polaroid came back with them and said, here we go. This is it. You just don't have to shake them anymore, but go right ahead, man.
Yeah, you're right.
Very cool. Well, and I love what you're talking about, because I got to tell you, I watched my kids play when they played Minecraft and stuff like this. I'm like, okay, what's the point? And well, dad, man. And so, you know, parents just don't get it.
We don't get it.
It was not meant for us. That's, or at least not for me. I'm not sure. Cool stuff.
You can do it, Steve. You can do it.
What I think's really cool is that they collaborate, and you know, there's lots of them involved in playing in that dungeon or castle or whatever it is that they've made and designed, and that's what's pretty cool about them. There's somebody on the other end of this. Cool, man. So
yeah, it's a lot of fun for them, and I've kind of learned to, you know, if you can engage with your kids, spend time with them, and it's through Minecraft, I mean, I'll take it.
Nice. Yeah. Well, good stuff on the music. We're going to shift gears now, but we'll come back to that, and I'm going to have links to different ways that you can get in touch with Brian, as well as to find out more about his music and a tour that he's doing in the middle of right now. So, Brian, let's go back to when I first met you. When I first met you, I heard you doing a presentation called Stop, Communicate, Listen. I enjoyed it thoroughly, and you showed your use of some Google tools and highlighted some of your live broadcasting and screencasting, as well as some cool apps and subscribing, how to subscribe to your newsletter, which you were doing it through a Google document, I'd love to get you to talk about for just a second. But during your presentation, you said this, and this is what I would really love. Let's use this to get ourselves into the tech world. You said, Twitter is my professional learning network. What do you mean?
I mean, you know, here at, when I work with these 15 counties up here in Northeast Georgia, I mean, I do have a physical group of people I can connect with, and they're all and it's they're good to have. I can go meet with them. We meet here and there. However, Twitter has made it where I can connect with anyone. I mean, we just for example, as a professional learning network, I was learning about digital badging or micro-credentialing. So that's giving people badges. So think of like, you know, think of Boy Scouts, how they get badges when they do small tasks. And I've been trying this out with some people, and it's really worked well. But I needed some help with this, so I found this lady from Augusta, and forgive me because I don't know her name, but she was on Twitter, and she had this nice badging, I don't know, picture or something on Twitter, and I said, wow, I need to talk to this lady. And so I just tweeted her. I mean, it was like five words. I said, I have to know more. And she responded and said, what do you want to know? I said, then I just messaged her and said, can you call me? And like within like the minute she called me, I'm talking to someone who is all about digital badging on my phone in my office. And that's super valuable. That is my professional learning network. I can connect with anyone. And that's many stories just like that. And teachers could do the same thing, not just instructional tech, but even someone who's like, you know, I want to work on classroom management. I need to work on my content area. There's people out there who want to share. Teachers like to share, for free.
Yeah, they really do. That's what's so cool. It's like, wow, it's cool.
It's crazy.
Somebody's asking me for my ideas, and I'll be happy to talk with them. That's so cool. And that's what I love about what you said there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's just like teacher that's like, I don't know, that's just a teacher quality you just want to share with people. It's wonderful.
It is so awesome because that's what I loved about when you said that, because that's I've had the same experience, which is trying to figure out how to I'd gone through some people's email websites and found their contact emails, and I sent them some emails and didn't hear, and I went, you know, they're on Twitter. All right. I'm on Twitter. Let me just send them something through, and boom, you know, it's like in some cases I got immediate responses, and I'm like, check that out, man. And that's what I love about it. Cause next thing you know is you're talking to them about figuring out what it is that you like that they did so well. And then in many cases it's something on a blog that you read or you saw them in a presentation or something. So very neat. I love that.
The world has become more small, and I want students to be able to have those kind of opportunities too. So if a student wants to know something from an expert, that they'll have the ability to get on Twitter or some other type of network and connect with people.
Love it. I love it. That's it's so cool to know that somewhere on the other end, and I wish I'd had this when I was teaching, because this is something that I know I was a high school history teacher for 9 years, and I would have loved to have had this type of connectivity with other teachers other places. I taught in the best teaching I had was I was part of a team in a high school where we'd brought up some middle school concepts to the 9th and 10th grade, and I love 10th graders. They're awesome to work with, and that team was so cool. But I could just see us reaching out to other teams across the nation or something through Twitter. That would have been so cool, because they would have done that. Good stuff. Well, thanks for talking about that. What you know, something that you highlighted that day that was really cool was low tech. And I got to get you there, and we're gonna come back to some apps and stuff like that in just a second, but I got to get you to the low tech thing, because one of the things you shared, because remember everybody, he was talking about the way to stop, communicate, and listen. And one of the things you talked about that day, you shared with everyone a cool tool for connecting. You shared using postcards. Can you tell us a little about the what and the why about using these?
Well, you know, just my my philosophy on education is really just trying as many things as possible to connect with people, and also as a musician, I read this. I did an audiobook, so I have to travel a lot. So I did this audiobook on marketing for musicians, and this guy in this audiobook would just not hush up about these postcards. He goes, "When you do a show, you collect fans' birthday cards." Birth dates. And so I said, okay, I get that. And he goes, you send him a birthday card. And I said, so musicians send them a personalized birthday card. I'm like, that's powerful. Because, we're trying to create lifelong fans as musicians. And then I thought about what I do in education and how I have to connect with so many different principals and teachers. And email is just so non-personal now. I mean, it's just not. It's not what it used to be. I remember like the first time I got an email and it was exciting.
Yes, like, very much so.
It was like on that 56K modem. It was like beep, 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 boom, 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 boom. And you get this thing coming in and you're like, wow, I just got an email. and you felt good all day. Now it's the opposite. It's like, please don't send me more emails. Just don't do it. So I still have to send emails because that's my job. However, I have special postcards made for me, and they're 4x6, around a 4x6, and it has my face on the side. And on the back, I can write a customized message, usually 3 sentences, and I'll send it to a principal going, hey, thanks for having me at your school, working with your teachers. I'd love to come back. You know, thanks again. You know, just something very short, but it's handwritten, and then my face is on the other side, okay? I don't have the most beautiful face, but my face is recognizable. So what's going to happen is that principal is going to leave that postcard on their desk a lot of times because it's not an email. The postcard stays on their desk. Sometimes they put it on a refrigerator. If they really like my face, they'll put it on a refrigerator. So it goes on the desk, and every time they look at their desk, they're going to see my face, and they're like, well, I do need some technology training at my school. I wonder who could do it. There's that guy. You get me? So it's like it's really crazy how this has worked out, and I love it. It's fun, too. It's just fun because there's something new, and I get bored easily, so I get bored doing the same old thing.
I love it because – and what's neat is that – and I hope everybody hears it because your passion about the postcards is cool because it's the same way when I heard you that day, I was recording you digitally, and it's funny. When I went back, it was neat your passion about using the postcards because you talked about remembering people's birthdays and connecting with them, and they get a postcard from you on their birthday. And I thought that was so neat because and one of the things that's really cool about this is I teach classes to new teachers, prospective teachers as well, and then to teachers who struggle a little bit. And one of the things I emphasize, which is so cool here now, I never thought about putting a picture on the front, which is awesome. I teach them about connecting with parents, and that one of the ways of connecting with parents is to use postcards to reach out and say something great about their child before you even have them in the class, so that they've gotten some little note and you just remind them about something the first week of school or something like this, and then you handwrite something. Or the idea that, you know, down the road you say, hey, we had a great project, just want to tell you that Steve did an awesome job today. And you know, and it's amazing what the power of the postcard is, because you might be able to get a principal to buy you those things, hint, 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 to get, you know, if you say, because what principal can say no to the power?
I want to connect with parents.
I want to connect with parents, exactly, man. And even, you know, they might say, well, you know, I don't have money for this computer or that computer, but postcards, I might be able to sway that, you know, because they're not that expensive. And here I am listening to you talk about, oh, so many other ways you could use that postcard, and I love it. So that, what a cool, low-tech way of connecting with people and to remind them, because exactly what you say. You know, one of my classes is for people who want to get a teaching job, and what a cool another way, just like you said, because what's neat is that people tend not to communicate in written fashion today, and instead they want to just send a quickie email because it's fast. But I tell them, I say, you know, write thank you notes. Handwrite them. Don't send it through email. Send a handwritten thank you note. Well, what a cool thing, because I saved those. When I was a principal, those were special because people didn't try to thank you that way. They often tried just to send an email. And so I saved those. Well, I would definitely save somebody's postcard. And, you know, and it's funny because what you're saying is, and I'm...
He got one.
I got one. Awesome, I'm showing it to Brian. You guys can't see it, but I'm showing it to him. I've got one of his. See, so there you go, Brian. You're talking back to yourself. Okay. Anyway.
Oh, that's...
That kind of strange, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't done that before.
but what's awesome is that I save those and I put them where I could see them, because if we happen to have an opening in a position, I'm going to go back to the person who I remember something unique about. Well, what's unique about sending a handwritten card or a handwritten postcard that has their face on it or something that you remember about them? And I love that idea, because that is what a great way of connecting with people. And I love the fact that you highlighted it that day, because it, you know, you could see lots of light bulbs going on around the audience about, whoo, I didn't think about that. Neat.
No, it's fun, Steve. It's actually a lot of fun. And I go see people and they're going, I'll go into their office. I'll go into someone's office and I'll have my postcard up.
Excellent.
And I'm like, that's like a tribute to Brian. I love that.
It is cool. Keep it up, man. That is so awesome. And I thank you for sharing some more about that. So let's do now delve into a little bit of more techie type stuff. And,
okay.
You know, what I'd like you to do is just, do you have an app or a technology device that you like to teach teachers about or administrators to use?
Oh, one of my favorite things to teach teachers and administrators has to do with video. It has to do with screencasting. So, in a world where we have to differentiate for many different types of learners, I like to have step-by-step tutorials for people who want to move on. My biggest issue being a kid or being in K-12 education when I was a student was the fact that I was bored a lot. And it wasn't because I was a genius. It was just because I just got my assignment done first. And I'd have liked to learn something new, but I was kind of stuck there doing something I didn't want to do. So I like the idea of teachers making tutorials using screencasting software. And so, you know, you can use a Chrome extension called Screencastify. That's free. And you can also use a Screencast-O-Matic, which is free as well. There's a free version that works on your PC or Mac, and you can make screencasts. And that's a video tutorial where you narrate over it. You can even show your face. You can get real fancy and have a writing tablet and do math problems all over your screen. There's a lot of possibilities there, and it's really good for administration too, because administration has to repeat themselves a lot.
Yes, so, I understand.
So
that.
You know, just quick, you know, this is how you do this thing. I'm making, instead of having an hour long meeting, here's a 5-minute PowerPoint on what I expect everybody to do today. There you go. You watch it. So just, that's what I like to do right now. That's one of my favorite apps.
That's cool. And you know, it's funny because that's something I'm investigating how to use and stuff like that. That sounds kind of ominous, investigating how to use. Anyway, that's something that I'm looking into. And I love it that day. I was taking all kinds of notes. And I'm probably going to reach back out to you saying, all right, help me a little bit more with this now. But
I'd love to.
I love that. Thanks for sharing that. So, and actually, that's going to lead me into my this question I have, because a lot of times when you're trying to help people kind of ramp up what they do with technology, there's a little bit of fear there about what I can use, what I can't use, how long is it going to take me to learn how to do this? You know, what advice do you give to an adult who's trying to include tech in her classroom, but's a little concerned that the kids may know more than she does?
Well, I think the concern is just more of a reality that the kids, they might know more about technology than you do. And that's not bad. I go into a room sometimes with administrators, and I know that they know more about, you know, taking care of a school than I do. It doesn't mean I can't do something new with them or try something new with them. And it's really neat. So to the teacher who's scared about using new technology with techie students, I just say, you just try something. That's kind of my motto. Just something. You do something new every day. You know, if that's, you know, learning how to, make a screencast, and that might take you a week to do. It doesn't matter. That's a huge thing for some teachers, to make a screencast. And so that's my advice. So just do something.
Cool. I love that, because I know one of the things that, you know, in working with kids, one of the things that they get fascinated by is when they see an adult learning how to do something. And I think what it does is it helps them understand that it's okay to not know how to do. Let's figure out how to do it together. And I think they get excited by that.
And I do want to say this, Steve. I think there's this perception that for some reason adults can't know more about technology than their kids. But I'm going to strive till the day I die to know more than my kids.
Nice.
I don't think that's bad.
I agree with you.
This means I want to learn every day.
Yeah, it's funny, having been a kid myself, sorry, I had to say that for some dumb reason. I'm from the day when I was in high school, we still had the big projectors with the real, you know, with the film on it that had to be fed into the movie
yes.
projector, right?
I saw that in a Wonder Years episode.
Nice. Thank you for making me feel old. Appreciate that. And we had a couple teachers who, you always had to have kids who could, who knew how to feed the film in correctly, because you'd have teachers who they'd feed it in the wrong way and it would just spool the film onto the ground. And you're like, dude, man, look, step aside. Let's help you with this. And it's funny because every generation of kids, I think they all have their version of that, how to embarrass the adult. And it's funny because sometimes, you know, the kids know enough to get themselves into trouble and not know how to get out of it. And you do need to know that there are adults who, excuse me, I may look like I'm older than dirt, but I do mess around with this stuff. So step aside for the adult who knows a little. So it is good that, you know, adults can know a little bit more. So all you adults listening out there, it's okay to say, I understand tech when you're talking to kids.
Yeah. Man, you ever go to the Georgia Tech Conference, you will see some techie teachers, and it's really awesome.
That's so cool. As we're kind of getting close to the end here, one of the things I would like you to do is tell everyone a little bit, if they want to connect with you, what's the best way to connect with you? Where would you send them? What's the best place to start?
I think Twitter's a good place. So you can contact me through my personal Twitter account at Brian Buffington. That's Brian with an I, and Buffington is Buffington. I also have an account here at Pioneer Risa Tech, where I post, you know, more things pertaining to technology And the Brian Buffington, I put all kinds of like music and tech stuff. It's a mixture of family and different things. So you can connect that way. And also, just as an extra gift here, if anybody would like a postcard with my face on it, the first 10 people who contact me and say, I want a postcard with your face on it, I'm going to send you one. I'll send you a personalized message. So there you go. 10 people, Steve. We just have a contest. There you go.
Excellent. I love that. Now, you got to tell me when you get there. That's awesome. We'll have to do a shout out to them on my next episode to say, hey, I understand we got to the 10. And so I like that. That's cool. So make sure you do that. Send him a email so you can get that postcard so you see what he's talking about and
that's right.
See what it looks like. That's awesome. Thanks for doing that. I talked about this earlier, and you're in the middle of a music tour. You want to share with the audiences where they can catch your performances?
Yeah, well, my performances or this music tour is a lot different than ones I've done in the past, in that this one is mainly house concerts. And so if you've never been to a house concert or ever hosted one, it's where a musician comes to someone's house and there's a concert, and it's pretty nice. Fun. So a host, let's say Steve goes, you know, I like to host people. I'm a good host. People come over. We're going to have barbecue. We're going to have a good time. And then at 7 o'clock, Brian Buffington is going to come play happy music for us for about an hour. And it's all donation based, and it's a blast. And I have t-shirts, you can say the Summer of Buff shirt, you can, wear it with pride. But it's been a lot of fun. And I am playing a public show, since I know you're in Georgia, Steve, at Eddie's Attic in Decatur. So that's up near Atlanta. It's an open mic, but I usually do a couple songs there, and I will do Eighth Grade Mustache.
Excellent, excellent.
So if somebody wants to catch that, and the date is August 8th.
Oh, excellent. So this will be published before that date. So August 8th, put it on your calendars for
Eddie's Attic
in Decatur,
Brian
Georgia.
Brian Buffington, and my good friend Rusty Townsend, he's a math teacher at a middle school math teacher, and he'll be playing percussion with me. He's awesome. You'll want to see it.
Excellent. What time of night does that start?
I think it starts at 8. I think it starts at 8, and I usually go, I think I'm going on around 9. So.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And best of luck on your musical endeavors there as well as your tech stuff. That's cool. As we come to a close, there are two questions that I want to ask you that I like to ask of my guests. So let's start with the first one. If you were given the chance to talk with 100 brand new teachers, they haven't started teaching yet, what advice would you give them?
Well, that's a good one, Steve. Let's see here. 100 teachers, and I got to talk to them about what they need to know about teaching. One, I would tell them to learn as much as they can every day. And the reason I say that is because we don't know, as professionals, we don't know how teaching will change in the next 5-10 years. And the fact that I've been able to learn some new skills here and there every year has opened doors for me. So let's say a teacher does come into school, and that teacher has a good heart, and that teacher wants to work with students, but something happens, and that teacher no longer can do that. Whatever circumstances. And if that teacher has been gaining new skills every day, marketing, all these other things, they can get jobs somewhere else if they have to. And so that's what I like people have options. You can be an instructional technology person if you want to move on from K-12 education with students. So. Learn as much as you can every day. And the other one is just hang out with wise people, right? So people we trust, people who know, not people necessarily in magazines, but people who are in education. And you got to be real careful with that, because some people are just real negative. So somebody who will tell you the good and the bad and try to steer you in the right direction. So, and you really got to have a heart to teach children to really make this work. If you're going to be working with children, you have to love children. There's no way around that.
You got that right.
I've seen people do this without the other part of the equation. It's bad. It's real bad. So you have to love kids and have some fun.
Awesome advice. I greatly appreciate it. And you are so right, because that's a train wreck waiting to happen if you don't like kids, because it's like, okay, what did you think you were going to be doing here? And I love that advice. Thank you so much. And
I've seen people make a career, because the people go into teaching, and maybe they do like the idea of teaching, but they really like the security of teaching. You do get a paycheck every month, which is good. Hopefully you do. If you don't, talk to somebody. A lot of people go in for that security reason, and they spend a whole life or a whole 30 years there, and they maybe not enjoy what they do. And that's a shame. It's a shame for everybody.
It really is, because it's magical working with kids. Don't get me wrong. There's some frustrating moments, as there can be in anything, but you get blindsided by this, that, or the other. But there's nothing cooler than you're working with kids and you see the light bulbs go on and they start getting excited about it, and whether they'll admit it or not, they start thinking what you're teaching them is cool. And even the coolest of the cool will say, this is all right stuff. And the way you find that out is because they get into it, they start doing it, and they start being part of it, and they like asking the questions or doing whatever. That's what I loved about 10th graders, is that 10th graders would let you be dorky with them, and whether they would admit it or not, they're getting right into it and having fun with you right along the way. And that's what's cool about the subjects that we teach, is that you can make them engaging in. If you can focus on making them engaging and active, and pull that interest out of them, that's the fun part of it, man. I don't understand how somebody could go through life just, kind of like that old Dunkin' Donuts commercial, which this dates me also, but gotta go make the donuts. Get up, make the donuts, and. And that's not what it's about in the classroom. So awesome.
It's not. Yeah. Thanks.
My last one is this: do you have a teacher in your past who made a difference in your life? If given a chance to say thank you, who would it be, and what would you say?
Well, Steve, this is all. Man, I'm glad you asked that question, because I thought about it. And in Coffee County, Georgia, which I don't know if that's close to where you are, but that's Douglas, Georgia. I had a ninth grade honors lit teacher named Dwayne Toney. And by the way, reading is not something like this, a hobby of mine. Reading is something I do for learning. It's not, I don't do it for pleasure, really. But, when I was young, I definitely did not want to read. And so literature required me to read these books like, Lord of the Flies?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Lord of the Flies, they blow conch shells and try to hurt each other. Yeah, that book.
That would be it, yes. Nice summation.
So I had to read those over the summer, and of course I did like Cliff Notes or something. But when I got the class, I was like, "Man, who is this guy? Because this is going to be really hard." And even though I dislike reading, this guy, Dwayne Toney, in fact, because I don't even mention his name ever. This is the first time anyone's really asked me this, but he was so passionate about what he was talking about that it didn't matter that I didn't care. Like, I just wanted to be there and I wanted to do my best. Because he looked like he was having a great time talking about whatever he was talking about. And so even though I didn't maybe care about Lord of the Flies or reading it, I wanted to be in his class. And it made me want to be passionate about things that I want to do. And plus, he also had a cool rear view mirror at his desk. This is back when teachers could actually sit down in their desk. I don't know if they allow teachers to sit down anymore. But he had this rear view mirror. And his desk was kind of pointed to the side, so you couldn't see everybody, but you would see his eyes looking back there at the class.
Nice.
I mean, it was so creepy and awesome. It was creepy and awesome. And I'll never forget him. I don't even know where he's at right now, but he was really good at what he did.
That is so cool. Thank you for sharing that. That's it is funny when you have especially one of those characters who has something very, very particular that you remember about him that helps you remember. That's too awesome. Thank you for sharing that story with us. Well, Brian, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm looking forward to keeping up with the cool tech stuff you're doing, as well as your musical endeavors. And I wish you the very best. And I thank you so much for your time today.
Steve, you got it, man. Thanks again for having me.
Take care now.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. Just search Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 in the iTunes store. Check back often for updates and new material.
Hang tight, everyone. I'm going to let go of the wall.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12. Recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the Heart of Georgia Precinct.
Hey, did you know that we're now available on Google Play Music? That's right. You can now find Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 on Google Play Music. Check us out.